Welcome to the AP Now podcast, the podcast that covers trends, insights, and emerging issues impacting every accounts payable function. Your host, Mary Schaefer, is the founder of AP Now, a B2B digital information and learning company focused on all issues related to AP. Stay tuned as Mary and her guests discuss the business intelligence you need to ensure a cost-effective, technologically efficient, fraud-resistant, regulatory-compliant accounts payable function. Without further ado, let's dive right in.
Welcome to episode 41 of the AP Now podcast. I'm Mary Schaefer, and with me today is Lynn Lawson from Recharged Education. And we're here today to talk about frauds, both old and new. Lynn's got an old story that unfortunately is still kicking around, and I've got a new one that hopefully we can help you anticipate. Before we get started, a special thanks to Stamply, a leader in AI-powered invoice automation, for sponsoring this call. Lynn, welcome. I'm really glad to have you back again on the AP Now podcast.
Thanks, Mary. Happy to be here and share my story, sad though it is.
Well, one thing you and I always talk about, and in fact, we were just talking about it before we got on to record this, is the fact that sometimes you lose your focus for just, you know, 1 minute, you turn your back, so to speak, and trouble starts. It reminded me of something that happened to my daughter a few years ago. She was out with friends on a Saturday night. They were having a few drinks. She went to go to the ladies' room, and she didn't want to be bothered with a purse, so she left it hanging from the back of her chair, not telling anybody, hey, could you keep an eye on my purse? And sure enough, she returned 3 or 4 minutes later. The purse was gone, her wallet, her money, her credit cards, her license, the key to her apartment house, the key to her apartment. So she had a fun evening that night.
Yeah, that's an awful story, but I'm sure other people can relate.
Yeah.
Like I can. Although not with that exact story.
Right. So what happened to you? Why don't you tell
well,
us?
Okay. So on that note, I mean, your story about what happened to your daughter, I mean, I would say I fall into the ultra conservative
yes.
paranoia category, mm-hmm. being oh so careful. But I had a problem with a check. And, you know, this is exactly another reason why I don't like checks and I
right.
prefer electronic payments. But beginning of this year, I mean, this is a fresh story, but it's an old fraud. I was late, and I use that term loosely, but I had planned to make a charitable donation prior to the end of 2019, but I was late, so I was doing it in early January. Well, I had to write a check because this organization did not accept, you know,
oh,
other
credit
forms
cards,
of payment.
Yeah.
Right. So I had the check and I had actually been out running errands and I was, you know, scoping out the landscape for a mailbox. Didn't see one, thought about driving to the post office, but it was the other side of town. I thought, oh, fine, I'll just, let me go home. I know the mailman hasn't been here yet. You know, I confirmed that. So I'll just stick it in my mailbox and put the little flag up because we don't always get mail. And so I thought, well, if I don't put the flag up, he might just drive by if this is one of those days where we don't have mail. Mm-hmm. And I have to also preface this by saying, you know, the local police have warned residents not to do what I was in the process of doing because, as you can all guess, I'm sure at this point, within an hour or so, someone stole a check out of my mailbox. And I have neighbors in the area that even have some cameras. They were all, you know, keen to help me out there, you know, trying to look at those cameras. And we concluded it might have been a person walking versus driving. So right there, you know, you sometimes,
right.
might, you know, looking for the wrong thing, right? We think someone's going to drive by.
Right, right.
But I mean, the story just kind of rolls from here because I actually did not know it was stolen. But very soon, you know, within a couple hours of me putting the check in that box, because I was so eager to get it out and in the mail that day, I got a call from a bank branch in a neighboring city. And they were asking me if I had written a check to so-and-so. And I stopped and I thought, what are they talking about? I mean, I wasn't even putting two and two together.
It was out in the mailbox.
Well, she told me the check number and I said, what? I just wrote that check today. I still was not connecting the dots. And in fact, you know, when she first called, I thought, well, who is this? You know, here's my paranoia. This is a scam. You know, who are you? Where are you calling from? And I said, well, what's your phone number? And she told me all this information. I said, I'm sorry, but I have to independently verify you are who you are. So here again, being ultra careful, I hang up, you know, I'm looking on my mobile device at this branch. Okay, I see that is indeed the phone number. This is all legit. So then I call that number back and, you know, basically it was a good story. Well, at least so far it was okay. They did not cash the check. And that was taken care of, but ultimately it caused me to close down my account, which we all know is a hassle, especially when you've got automatic bills tied to a certain account. But it wasn't until after that call from that very wise and alert bank branch that I realized, oh, my check was stolen.
Right.
Because, you know, checking that out, and the mailman came by afterward. He's like, there wasn't a check in your box. I mean, it was just a bad situation. I was kicking myself, and here I'm publicly declaring my story for all your thousands and millions of readers.
but usually you're very careful, but like all of us, you know better, but you think, it'll be quick. What could go wrong?
Right. I thought within an hour, yep. Mm-hmm.
What are the odds?
I think haste makes waste. Isn't that how the saying goes?
Yep. So I thought that this would be a good time. There's an application here both for you personally, which, you know, maybe Lynn can go over one more time. And then there's also a business application, because I know sometimes people think I'm a little, you know, paranoid or over the top when I talk about this. But Lynn, why don't you talk about the personal best practices in this, just to recap?
Well, yeah, I think just to reiterate, never do what I did. I mean, I agreed to do this with you, Mary, as I told you offline, because I said, all right, I'll be the poster child of what not to do if it helps people not make the same mistake. So I would never again put any outgoing mail, if there's money in there or not, in my mailbox. And if I was tempted, I certainly would not put that flag up, which is sort of like, come here, come take what's in my mailbox.
Right.
You know, woo-hoo.
And you know, that reminds me, I was just reading today a fraud story. And this fraud occurred because a company had a form online where vendors could change their payment preference. So this company had been getting checks, and somebody got online, used the form, impersonated a vendor, and asked for an ACH payment. And of course, eventually it turned out it was fraudulent. And I think they got two payments totaling almost $1 million. So
wow.
I say, don't put the form on the website. It's not going to stop everybody, but it will call attention to the fact that you are making electronic payments, and it will facilitate the fraud. Yeah. $1 million. And likewise, when we think about how, if you're still printing checks in your organization, and I know many of you are, from the recent AP Now survey, half of you take the checks to the mailroom at your organization as soon as the checks are ready to go. If you're like me, you probably just want to get them out. And that is an invitation to possibly someone who's walking through your mailroom and sees them lying around. So best practice, don't take your checks to the mailroom until right before the time when the mailroom takes the mail to the post office.
Well, and Mary, just a question there too. So if they follow your advice and they keep them within AP, would you also recommend kind of keeping them under lock and key?
Okay. Don't leave them out on someone's desk, or even, you know, you think you have them back on a credenza in an office. Who's going to see that? But, you know, somebody who's got malice of heart, as I like to say, and they sees those things, they're walking by, you know, 30 seconds. They don't even need the few minutes your guy needed. So,
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, Lynn, I always say to people, I wish I could foresee future frauds and then I could warn people and tell them what to do ahead of time. Well, I didn't actually see this one. I read about it, but I want to share it. And I'm going to ask you, and I'll tell the audience, because Lynn and I have talked about this. We both flunked this test.
yes, I'm on a roll, Mary.
You're
go
on
ahead.
A roll. Yeah, well, I'm right there with you. So when you write a date, whether it be on a check or a legal document, if you're signing something. When you write the date, how do you write the date? I'm going to pretend that the date is December 2nd. Do you write the date 12/2/19? Do you write the date December 2, 2019? Do you write the date 12/2/2019? Or do you use any of these?
Now, any of these.
Any of these. Those was Lynn's answer. My answer is the same, but mostly I'd use the first one, 12/2/19. When we have to stop now for a brief message from our sponsor, but when we come back, we'll tell you what the right answer is. And unfortunately,
and why.
There's only one right answer. Okay, so a word from our sponsor. AP professionals know invoices are easy to lose and it takes time to track down approvers while also having to log, cross-reference, verify, reconcile, and cut checks, all while staying compliant. Stamply simplifies all that. When invoices enter the system, Stamply's AI called Billy the Bot immediately gets to work by proposing GL codes, approvers, and flagging issues like PO mismatches and potential duplicates. AP simply confirms the information is correct and submits the invoice for approval. Now here's the best part. Stamply fixes the disconnected communications between approvers, accounts payable, and vendors. With Stamply, conversations are centered around each invoice, and anyone can be invited to the conversation, getting to an approval decision up to 5 times faster. Visit stamply.com/APnow. See for yourself how your team can work smarter, not harder. That's stamply.com/APnow. All right, let's look at what the right and safe answer, by the way, is. In the year 2020, especially in the year 2020, you want to use all the digits for the year. So regardless of how you write the date, make sure when you write the year, don't just use 20, use 2020. Why? The answer for that is rather simple. If you just write 2020, some crook can come along and they can change the date. They can either add a 19 or a 21 or a 22 or whatever the crook needs, whatever year the crook needs for this document to be dated, they can change it. So think about your checks and think about Lynn's example. And if her check had been dated January 2nd, 2020, which she thinks that's what
it probably was.
It probably was. She thinks so. And if she'd written the date 12/2/20 and she realized that the check had been stolen and she put a stop payment on it, she would have been fine until a year rolled around. And then if some crook had that check and he just added a 21, he would be able, or she would be able, to take that check and cash it. So for the year 2020, one of your New Year's resolutions should be always to write the year out completely.
And Mary, when you described that to me, I was like, aha, it was a big, you know, light bulb moment turning on. But like, I was trying to figure out, who cares if something's backdated?
Well, sometimes you might have a legal document. You may have to have done something by such and such a date. So, for example, if you needed something done by the end of 2019, and we're now in 2020, and you had that document dated, you know, with just the 20 hanging out there, you could backdate. So you could either backdate or postdate, depending upon what was needed for the particular fraud. It's kind of scary.
Oh. No, it is scary, and I never would have thought of this. So, good advice.
Yep, and I wish I had thought of it. I wish I remember where I read it, because I feel kind of bad about it. I'm talking about it, and I can't give credit where credit's due. But so when it comes to this, again, this wouldn't even be a minute losing focus. It could be 2 seconds right out the year 2020. All righty. Well, Lynn, I'd like to thank you for joining us and sharing your experiences. I hope you'll come back again. It's always a lot of fun to have you on.
I'd like to come back and share better news next time.
That'd be good. That'd be good. And I'd like to thank Stamply, a leader in AI-powered invoice automation, for sponsoring this. And, of course, our readers who have taken the time to listen to us. And we hope that we'll see you on another AP Now podcast. That's it for now. See you soon.